You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Rafael Perez Evans. He's talking to me from Cordoba, Spain. Rafael, thanks so much for being with me today.
Hey, good afternoon. Thank you very much for inviting me. Very happy to be doing this radio show today.
So, Rafael, tell me what's happening in Spain right now. Cordoba is such a beautiful city with such an incredible history. What are you doing in Cordoba at the moment?
Well, I'm currently here. I was actually born a couple of hours away from here in Malaga, and I was invited by this museum by a couple of curators called Javier Bermúdez and Patricia Bueno. They invited me a few months ago to do a research residency and at the same time to produce a show, a group show, that's going to open next week in C3A Museum, which is a museum that opened around 8 years ago. So we've been working kind of through process and research on this project, which it's titled Touching Earth, Tocar la Tierra in Spanish. And within this project, I've been kind of recuperating some of the anxieties, I would call them anxieties, that I was dealing with quite a few years ago regarding southern Spain and southern Europe. So thinking, as curator Francisco Javier Sanchez says, about the southern condition. So I feel that we've been looking a lot to the global south from a place of distance and safety to practices that deal with rurality, agriculture, let's say progress. And in Spain, we've been inhabiting a little bit of a shameful place to deal with our own kind of rural narratives and sort of the darker side of modernity, you know, the things that are left behind in progress. So for me, I'm very kind of excited to deal with those anxieties in my practice at the moment, to deal with let's say, some of the, I don't know, not so fashionable objects, bodies, and kind of histories of present time southern Spain and its agriculture,
Let's get into that a little bit more. So what exactly will be presented?
I'm presenting a two-part installation. So part one, it's called Invigilate. And Invigilate is it's within the museum, there's a patio. And inside the patio, we're currently installing it's a mango tree, a live mango tree with a few fruits. And the tree, it's being invigilator, what I'd say, like there's a CCTV camera pointing at the tree, and from another part of the museum, you're able to kind of invigilate the fruits and the mango tree. So it's a sort of exercise around observation, but around turning you to this kind of security guard of this standing tree within the museum. This is something which quite comically I saw a family member of mine. I come from a lineage of farmers, and I'm the first generation that kind of skipped the profession. My cousin, who also skipped the profession, he still has a plot of mango plants, and he was seeing how people were stealing them, and so he put up really kind of quite high fencing, and beyond the fencing, they stole. So the year after, he's put CCTV cameras that he, I don't know how much time he spends looking at it, but it's a very comic sort of image. But at the same time, for me, it's kind of very symptomatic of the southern condition of our relationship to agriculture. But agriculture as a point of being, which is being or has been eroded and kind of erased. It's kind of like peasantry. It's kind of becoming extinct. Peasantry in terms of culture, yeah. Peasantry as a place in which people are relating to each other through it's a companionship through community relations, through kind of less individualistic and competitive terms, and all of that is being erased through this sort of what I would call like kind of neocolonial foreign investment, which is buying all the land, especially in the coast in southern Spain. And with that, land has become not so much a place of fertility or ground of where you can grow things, but a place where you can kind of grow apartments. And that's changing the whole ecology of southern Spain. So I'm very curious about where that leaves us, you know, as kind of southerners. Where does that leave our way of relating to each other and our way of relating to the land? And so that's the first part of the installation. Then we also have this, the second part, which is it's called Thief. So Thief is it's a 90s car installed inside the museum, and inside the car there's basically like a ton of oranges, literally like a ton of oranges. And this I'm kind of appropriating this from.
So let me just understand that clear. There's a car in the space, an automobile that's
a car inside. Yeah. An automobile inside the museum, which is filled with oranges. And this is another kind of funny kind of image, because it came from a group of thieves that were operating in southern Spain, and they got caught. The police caught them with cars filled, like literally filled to the top. So it's an image of a car, like just literally.
When was that? That sounds familiar. That sounds like it was a sensation, you know, that image of being caught with an enormous amount of fruit, you know.
Exactly. I mean, it's a kind of, people were laughing at it, but for me, there's something in that laughter, which is kind of problematic, in the sense that we're relating to this image of agriculture as comedy somehow. It's something like an anecdote now, because it's fast disappearing. So I picked up on how I was, when I saw that image on a local newspaper, I became enamored by it. You know, I became very kind of seduced, but also seduced by how I was reacting to that. First, to the ingeniousness of these people. Second, to the police sort of reporting this, you know, as a case. And thirdly, as it kind of really, for me, it tied in with the sentiment of how things, agriculture and its culture, is becoming almost like an anecdote in this part of Spain. So, yes, I'm dealing with these things. And yeah, the oranges are arriving tomorrow. And we're about to kind of to finish installation. Thinking also, like I was telling you before,
yeah,
there's
something very beautiful about that. To stay with that for a minute, because that's as you're saying, it's funny, but it's also something else. There's something beautiful that points to, and sad in a way too. But these oranges and filling the car with them, that's something that will have a different effect in the museum. Of course, I imagine it'll be enormously aromatic, right? There's going to be the smell of oranges unless the car is sealed, and also the oranges are going to decay over the course of the show, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So there's something for me about objects, thinking about objects and the power of objects, in terms of thinking of the power of objects in relationship to the difficulty that we're encountering to screens. You know, like Susan Sontag very clearly pointed out in her book, The Pain of Others, how we kind of anesthetize, you know, to kind of violence and pain through its mediation, you know, mainly through screens, you know. So how do we break from the anesthesia that we're kind of constantly bombarded with? You know, we're bombarded with imagery of violence and pain, but we anesthetize to that, to its constant repetition in terms of screen time. And so for me, it's been quite a kind of a transition to move purely into objects more and more, and to allow objecthood to kind of start operating as an agent of narrative, you know, as a narrator, and trusting that more, you know, trusting more the power of objects to be doing these things that sometimes screen-based or time-based media perhaps it's not kind of working so well in those terms at the moment. Yeah,
that's true. And so I stopped you, but what's happening what else is in this exhibit that you're putting together?
Well, these are my two pieces, and we also have work by a number of like, I think we are six artists in total from southern Spain. And I think what is interesting is the idea of kind of trying to recuperate. I think art tries to be autonomous and exist globally, you know, as this kind of almost, not globally, but like almost outside of the planet, you know, like an autonomous zone that has its own rules and regulations. And what happens to locality? So I guess this project kind of tries to start arranging not so much a one-liner of what it means to be working from the South and around the South, around subjects of the South, but to kind of open up that discourse that, in my opinion, Spain, or at least Northern Spain, has a little bit of a difficulty with, because Southern Spain and traditions have been relegated to kind of naivety, you know, to ideas of the naive. And I always think of artists that I love, such as Paulo Nazaret, Brazilian artist, who deals, I mean, also in Mexico, a lot of artists that are kind of really reworking, like Rafa Esparza as well, really reworking issues of locality and the earth, you know, like literally the soil, through these very intricate layered ways. And I'm trying to kind of see if we can work with that within this territory as well. I lived in Mexico for a couple of years, and I lived in Brazil for 2.5 years, where I was running a residency program in quite a remote jungle zone. So those experiences have been very kind of igniting to open up this quest of dealing with these issues within European territory. You know, those issues are also present here, So I'm kind of currently trying to investigate, and also thinking like Michael Talsik, this great critical anthropologist who I love. He's kind of always thinking critically or radically around anthropology through the idea that, for example, an ethnography is a great tool not so much to think about another culture or people, but as a tool to kind of really make evident and clear the way that we look, you know, the way that Western ways have been written and theorized in terms of scopic, you know, in terms of the ocular, in terms of ways of seeing. So it's almost like an ethnography is a way of looking. An ethnography becomes a mirror.
That's very interesting. And so we could talk about older work, but I'm curious, and I wish I could come and see your work there, especially the car with oranges. To just talk a little bit about how that will age. How long will that be up? And what will happen
the show,
as the oranges, you know?
Yeah, decay. Yes, we're going to have the show. It's going to be open from next Wednesday, and it will stay up until March. So it's going to be quite a number of months. The thing of live materials, I've worked in the past with the kind of non-human species, such as animals and plants in my work, and it's something that keeps on, you know, coming up. I worked a lot with a lot of root vegetables, and they start decaying, you know, and that decay becomes quite an integral kind of aspect of the work. Sometimes the work collapses, you know, if it's sculptural. They're going to be live, and they're going to be slowly, slowly decaying, and from these kind of very shiny, bright orange things, oranges in general become green, they get a fungal. So at least in Spain, they become fungal, and it becomes almost like a sea of green fungus. And I'm quite curious as to how that's going to be kind of adapting a little bit of the quirky, funny initial story, you know, how that's going to be sort of tinted by this by this fungus. I think something will kind of start articulated in terms of the layers of humor. It might move it away from human, and that transition is something I'm quite excited about. To think about that decay in terms of the erosion that, you know, I see agriculture and its epistemologies in Southern Spain being exposed to, you know, they're being erased. So there's something around that which, yeah, is exciting, absolutely.
Mm. That is exciting. That's very exciting. And so congratulations on this show that you're putting together now, and hopefully listeners who are in that
Thank
area
you.
Can come see it. Talk a little bit about your approach, because a lot of your work isn't of course so easy to collect. So it's not
and
designed
that's,
for the
yeah.
marketplace so much, right?
It's not. It's absolutely not. And this is why I also teach. I have my practice as a lecturer, and that's what keeps most of the economy that supports a lot of my practice. So it's something that I'm not particularly worried about, this collection or non-collection. It allows me for a certain amount of freedom in my practice to feel that I can really kind of push materials to whatever place I feel are necessary, and not having to kind of feel contrived by a market of collectivity, you know, of collecting. And also thinking about collection and preserving, you know, preserving, it's a very, how would I say this? Preserving comes from museology, you know, this idea of collecting and of creating an archive. And I'm resisting this archival project, you know, it's almost an imperial project, this idea of kind of having things long-term. I recently bumped into this quite beautiful story of a sculpture, a wooden sculpture from Nigeria, which got stolen by the British, I believe it was in the 19th century, and now Nigeria is calling it back to Nigeria, and because it's a key, let's say, like it's a wooden sculpture. It's a key wooden sculpture that they don't have that many of, because the termites came and they ate all the other ones. And so these termites is being also an igniting force to a new piece that I'm working on, which has to do with kind of destroying the archive and thinking about how natural ecologies are kind of, you know, kind of erasing an archive. Why do we have to kind of hold on to things? The West always thinks about holding tightly to things. And when I heard this story about these termites having eaten like a whole history of Nigerian culture, I was kind of very enamored or sort of seduced by that as a kind of sort of an anti-archival process, yeah. I think we can resist things. we can stop preserving objects. Stop preserving ideas. We can think about oral histories. We can think about, even though I work with objects, but objects that at some point disintegrate, and or things that eat objects and ideas. So this is something that I'm moving closer and closer towards, almost like a resistance to the archives, that it's, and to archiving. I think we definitely need more of that. Like, we need to start thinking about other strategies of being and of thinking and preserving, as we have been doing in the West so tightly, might not be, the most poignant way of dealing with histories. And yeah.
Yes, yes.
I like to think of yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, like I was saying, it's kind of like there's always other ways, and other ways which can feel a bit radical, you know, kind of destroying of artworks. But I feel then they become oral, you know, they become a story as well. And that story kind of starts circulating, and that in itself it's a circulation that activates other things, you know, beyond the object and beyond the documentation of an object, yeah.
Right, and so the one last question on that is, so how is this funded? Is it all through kind of residencies and grants, your work, because it's not easily collected?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, a lot of it, I'm receiving a number of grants, which I'm very, very grateful to. Spain has a good grant system, actually, even though we are in cultural precarity in this country. There's a number of private and public funding which circulates around, and it facilitates a lot of fruition for a lot of projects. And so in that case, I'm doing a lot of work through grants, also through invitation. You know, I did a project in Museum of Contemporary Art in Taiwan this summer, and a curator invited me there to do a project that was dealing with other things. But yeah, so it's I also have a studio practice. I went back to school. I'm a 35-year-old man, and I always wanted to do a master's, so I did my BA in Goldsmiths, and now I'm going back. And it's been very sort of a very beautiful time for me to really kind of dig deeper into the various researches that I've been opening in the past years, and sort of distill or collapse some of those ideas and try new ones out. So I have a studio in London at the moment, in Goldsmiths University in southern London. And so, yeah, it's like I go as I come, you know. Some galleries also invite me to do some, you know, solo projects in their spaces. And, yeah.
Very good, very
one
good.
Step
well,
at a time. Yeah.
right. And I wish you well on that. But before I ask you the last question, is there anything else I should have asked, or do you want to add anything else that about your work that listeners may want to hear? There'll be links in here and text about you. But is there
sure
anything else you want to say?
No, I just think that it's just ideas around being tired. You know, I feel I'm quite exhausted and tired around a lot of the ways that in the West we've been dealing with things, and for me, the South as a way of being is answering some of those questions. So yeah, I'm just trying to kind of swim with that at the moment and see if I stay afloat.
Very good. I sure hope you do. And let me ask you the last question then. What is it that you're reading at the moment?
At the moment, I'm reading a book by the colonial writer Walter Mignolo, and he's a really wonderful theorist who's been dealing with ideas of decoloniality for quite a number of years now. I highly recommend his work, and the book is Constructing the Pluriverse, and it's a wonderful book that starts kind of operating as a resistance to, you know, kind of white universality or Western universality, and really offers a really quite beautiful guide to, first of all, open other cosmologies such as Amerindian cosmologies, and with that, sort of throwing darts or arrows into how we can rethink nature, the land, spirit, you know, the metaphysical, the world, the universe, and there's also many examples that touch upon feminism, and I find it a really good guide, and a very necessary guide, because it sounds kind of obvious, but I think we live, or a lot of people live, through this idea of the universal, and the universal was obviously constructed by very specific authors. So how we can contest that is being quite key at the moment, not only to deal with the human world, but the non-human world, plants, animals, other species, and the land, you know, the world as land. And yeah, so I highly recommend this book. Please all read it. Jump into that.
Thank you, Rafael. And I want to thank you so much for talking with me today. I really enjoyed this.
Thank you. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you and having this chat around a few of these ideas. I'm super grateful to your project and to your time. And your invitation is super kind.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.